Oh, boy.
Welcome back.
You know who this is, right, Jimmy?
Music. It's 1980 Tuesday. The Drive with Matthew, Jimmy, and Chuck on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
Dexy's Irish Runners.
That's what I was going to say.
Midnight.
Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Midnight Runners.
Yeah.
But ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
I got the Dexy's part.
Yeah, and the Runners.
And the Runners.
Two just didn't know what time it was happening.
I'm hitting six. I'll be in the Hall of Fame. Go 2 for 3. Welcome back. That's right, Jimmy. All right. Now, our buddy Jeff Drummond is on the line with us. This is almost always so much fun because who knows where the topic can go. It can go movies. It can go sports. It can go a number of fantasy baseball games.
Of course, we'll just stick to straight sports here because of how much are going on.
Yeah, because he's not the biggest Star Wars fan in the world. And we don't have to talk about that. Because yesterday was, I guess, was some big Star Wars thing. Mm. I guess. Hi, Jeff.
I'm number 2 on the ranking.
Who's number 1?
I don't know.
Okay. Here, you know what they say. If number 1 ever dies, you go right to the top.
It's not Harrison Ford. We know that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of afraid to be that guy, as knee-deep in it as I am as the number 2 fan.
You don't want that kind of pressure.
Before we get to
how many Star Wars action figures did you have growing up, Jeff?
Oh boy, here we
You're
go.
You're a few years older than me, so it was more a little bit more in your wheelhouse. I had about 50 is all.
Okay.
Yeah, I had them all at one point. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was crazy. I'm trying to think when I started phasing out of that around the time of the last of the original trilogy when Return of the Jedi came out. I was 12. You know, you start to phase out, I guess.
Sean started last year.
I'm working on phasing out now. I'm collecting Godzillas now.
I would say between the ages of the original movie came out when I was 6 or 7, and between that and being around 10 years old, that was all I was doing out in the. If I wasn't playing baseball in the yard, I was blowing up Star Wars, burying them in dirt.
Yeah.
Oh boy. All right.
My own little movies.
We want to get in. I really do want to talk about this Reds Yankees thing going on. But before we do, we had some sad news. I guess yesterday about a coach that was very important not only to Kentucky but personally to you. And to Sean, I guess, right?
Yeah. Coach Richardson from down at Madison Central passed away over the weekend. He was 35 years at Madison Central. I played a half a season. I was no good. But I did play a half a season for him. I knew him. Wonderful man. Big influence in, 2, 3, 4 generations of kids that came through Madison County high schools.
Yeah.
Can you tell us some of your reflections on him? I know you had some interaction with him as well when you were in high school.
Yeah, just a great legacy down there in Richmond, and I'll always remember him for being, you know, the biggest baseball fan that I've ever encountered. You know, not just a coach, but the man truly loved the game. And I shared this story with someone else earlier that, you know, even when he wasn't coaching or on the field during games for Madison Central, he'd go out, he'd watch a Little League game. You know, he would show up. He would be at some of my Little League games. I really remember because, I mean, that was like Sparky or Tommy Lasorda walking in down in Richmond. You know, it might as well have been the same thing. He would do radio when WEKY would have some calls of, like when you got to the championship round of the Little League games, they would put it on the air, and he would call the games. And I remember there was one, I've got the tape buried somewhere away, but he was talking about how much he liked me as a hitter in one of those.
Wow, you better find that.
It was just really cool. I wish I knew where it was.
Yeah.
Now, but, he had all kinds of sayings. He was a farm guy. You know, down in Union City is where he always lived, had a farm down there, real country. And he had all kinds of great expressions and sayings that he would share with people. He loved the goal, if the creek don't, if the good Lord's willing.
Good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.
Yeah. Crick. We'll play that game over, you know, at Henry Clay this week. he once, I heard him use this with other people, not with me. I'll save mine. But he would say, son, you're slower than a fly in molasses.
I had that said about me a couple times.
I never heard that.
Or you look like a cow on ice. That one kind of applied to me on occasion, because one time, freshman year, he would watch kind of over to the side while our freshman coach was conducting practice. And I remember distinctly that he was hitting these line drive shots and into the outfield that we had the field and come up and learn to do the crow hop properly and everything. And I misplayed one, and he said, and he had a very distinct accent. Thousands of people have tried to do.
Yeah, it's impossible.
But he said, son, you played that like a pit cobra. implying I wanted no part of that.
Well, yesterday, of course, I had heard about him before in my time here, but when we read his stats yesterday, I mean, it's jaw-dropping is the only phrase I can use for it in terms of how many games he won and how many he lost and basketball. And if there is ever, as they say, you know, the definition of a coach, his picture is in that dictionary.
You know, when you think about it, he approached 1,000 wins, mm-hmm. and he averaged over 30 wins for more than 30 years.
That's just this is what I mean.
Average, and you know, Richmond has always been a great baseball town. And we didn't always get as far as we wanted. Being in the 11th region was particularly tough.
Cause mm-hmm. yeah.
You had to fight like heck to beat the Lafayettes and whoever, you know, was the team at the time in Lexington was always tricky to get past. But in 82, they had the 40-0 team,
yeah.
Which I was 11. And like I said about him being like Masorda or Sparky, the kids who played on that team, they were kind of our heroes, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. They were big time 40-0 in baseball. And people that aren't huge baseball fans may not realize that, but in baseball, you lose usually one out of three games, no matter how good you are.
Right.
Win two.
No, that's great.
The very best teams ever in Major League Baseball lost about a third of their games.
Mm-hmm.
And that team went 40-0, and I don't think that will ever happen again, because, you know, I think they had something like 9 or 10 Division I players on that roster.
Yeah.
They had like an entire pitching staff. You know, most high schools have an ace and like the next guy is pretty good. If you got a decent high school team, that team had four or mm-hmm. five guys.
Yeah. Well, that ain't happening again. I could tell you.
Yeah. Not as mobile as society is now.
On top of all that, he won an 11th region basketball championship.
Yeah. That was the part. I didn't know that about him. That was before I started going to Madison Central when he was the basketball coach and won 350 games on top of the 950 whatever as a baseball coach.
It took Richie Farmer in order to knock them out. And a little trivia tidbit, that was the semifinal game at Rupp Arena in 87. And it was at that time, and may still be, I don't know exactly, because Indiana, I think, started playing in the Fisher Dome at one point. But in 87, that game was attended by, that session, I should say, there were four teams in it, 24,000 people at Rupp Arena. If there were criminals in Clay County or Madison County, they could have had a field day, because everybody was there watching those games, and it was a classic.
Wow. All right, before we get we only got about 3.5 minutes left, but I just saw something on your Twitter feed, at JDrumUK. This is SEC announced today that a familiar name, Mike Eads, has been named new league coordinator of officials. Are you kidding me? All right, that's all I have to say about it. It just caught my eye, and I'm
sounds like you've got beef.
Oh, well, with every single one of them, but I have some particular ones with that guy.
This gets him off the court.
You know, he doesn't really stand out a lot in my memory, so I usually consider that a good.
Yeah, well, wait till he's got control over all the other officials. His decisions as director of this thing will be as bad as his ones on the court. Just telling you. Anyway.
From the coach's perspective, though, it could not get any worse than it was.
Yeah.
This past season.
I agree.
I've been told by some guys off the record, you know, they don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
But this was the most complaints they had ever fielded at the league office.
Does not surprise us at all. All right, we got a couple minutes. Can you explain real quickly about this Reds-Yankees deal that's going on?
Yeah, it kind of revolves around the game. I think you and I talked about it a little bit the last time I was on, that I kind of stumbled across this out-of-the-park baseball.
Yeah.
It's really picked up.
I just kind of tripped into it because of the quarantine, you know, for something to do. And I heard about it on the Baseball Network and started playing. And so they've got this deal where they're trying to find out who's got the all-time greatest collection of talent they can put on a 25-man roster.
Well, clearly the Yankees, but go ahead.
And it's pretty exciting stuff. And you can make a good case for either one, I think.
The
Yankees have got some of the all-time absolute killers, but then you look over at the Reds and you see what they can do with their speed and their defense. And
they do everything.
So
that's why these lists.
I think the series was tied at 2 games apiece.
Yeah. So it's actually the Reds are up 3-2 in the series, and the game is actually being played right now as we speak. It is top of 8, and it's tied 2-2.
My Lord.
Babe Ruth just went opposite field to tie it up.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
He has 15 home runs throughout this Dream Bracket series, Babe Ruth does.
And people say he couldn't hit today's pitchers. Anyway.
Should have flipped him a couple more hot dogs.
Yeah.
He's drinking beer in the dugout while they're playing. It's cool. All right. As always, thanks for jumping on with us, and we'll talk to you real soon. Maybe the next time we talk to you soon, there'll be an actual, you know, plan for when we can start watching baseball again.
Maybe.
Yeah, I sure hope so. It's been a void for us, even though we've got these classic games on TV and brackets. I long for the real thing.
We all do. Thanks, pal.
All right, guys.
Talk to you soon. The great Jeff Drummond. All right, that'll do it. We'll be back to speak with you again tomorrow. Tomorrow's Red's Hot Stove Show. Don't forget. This is ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5.
The Drive, brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown.